anything else you need me to go out and send to Brad?
I'm all set. Like I said, my only concern is taking care of liquid waste for those who don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's the reason I brought small cups for sampling, is my waste.
Exactly. Alright, so if you want, I will go find somebody and see if they can help you out with that.
Yeah, legs are just a small trash can.
Yeah.
And I'll gladly rinse out the can.
We can use that for the water.
I figure we use that for the cups.
Yeah.
Alright, I will go find somebody and find out.
Yep, thank you.
Does anyone like if somebody spits it out?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, they can spit it out back in the cup, but to dispose of it, I don't want to throw liquids in the trash.
Or don't, I think.
Might be somebody else, I don't know.
What was that?
There.
Just want to test this. Good. Works.
What is the moxie song?
Guess we're gonna find out.
They gave out records that were 3.5 minutes long of a foxtrot from the 1920s called the moxie song.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It actually, in a way, became a slang word.
Yep.
Because there was a moment in All in the Family where Archie Bunker said to, like, his neighbor, yep, Jefferson, or whatever it was, yeah, I understand there's something you guys drink gives you a lot of moxie. Yep. And moxie meaning something like strength or whatever.
Yeah, we're going to cover that.
So it actually was used, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll cover that.
Yeah.
There's a lot more I could talk about, but like I said, I tried to condense it to 30 minutes or so to have time to sample and still get you folks out of here and down to closing, or if you want, I can.
Yeah.
Follow me up to my room.
Yeah, not a huge deal.
Yeah.
I think it might be at some Walmarts. I was looking it up. I have bought some.
It's almost everywhere here. As a matter of fact, I think Shaw's supermarkets are having a buy two, get two free sale that started Friday and runs through Thursday.
Yeah.
And so if you're traveling south of here, just wait till you get to New Hampshire so you can avoid deposit and sales tax.
Yeah. I'm over near Salem, Massachusetts,
yeah,
and it's possible it may be around. I'm not sure.
Do you want to be Moxie albums, or is that just a bit too far for the collection?
I'm sorry?
Do you have one of the Moxie albums that you
do not own a copy of the Moxie record. It is too hard to get.
Is it uploaded to YouTube or something?
I was going to pull it up on YouTube.
Good.
There was a collector who collects, you know, the Victrola records from that time period, and he'll record and post them to YouTube, and he posted the Moxie song. So if you go to YouTube and look up Moxie song, you can find it.
Nice.
The one thing I bought in the dealer's room was a spoof of the logo.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
I saw that.
The one thing I bought in the dealer's room was this.
They intentionally did that because they were coming to this convention.
Right.
And realized, oh, it's Maine, we got to do that.
Of course. Well, it's mentioned briefly in 11/22/63 by Stephen King, the Kennebec Fruit Company, and all that.
Because I'm not going to cover everything. I'm basically going to cover the history of it and just a couple little other tidbits. Pick a place.
Okay.
Or if you want to stand. There's, you know, have a seat.
Right here.
Stick around more. I just feel sorry that they put me against the auction because I'm keeping you folks from bidding for charity.
Yeah. They put me up against people taking stuff out of their rooms because they had to leave, and I had three people this morning usually draw quite a few more.
You just don't know. Well, the reason I got this slot was because I waited until the last minute to submit my panel I didn't know if I was going to have the time in real life with my real life job to pull it together, even though, well, you'll learn.
They usually put my panel at A&E against the Fursuit Parade.
Yeah.
I felt sorry at first for the person whose name I can't remember that I know, who works for the Kennebunkport Trolley Museum.
That was where I bought it for the first time, in their gift shop.
Yeah, when he was doing a panel here last year on the history of electric trolleys in the state of Maine. they put him up against the first suit dance.
Oh. That's rough.
He almost had a full room. It gives you an idea. Not everyone comes here to watch the dance. He had almost a full room. I was impressed because I was out there doing badge checks. So I was happy for him, and it was a very successful panel. So in other words, it, you know, if you put it against a popular event, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have an empty room.
Yeah.
The others I know are going to be coming, so I might delay a minute or two because one of them was running the Therian panel, which is supposed to wrap up at 5, unless he's smart enough to wrap it up a little early so you can get up here.
Yeah,
if he's successful, he won't wrap it early.
They tend to put me on Sunday mornings doing my panels are classic cartoons.
Yeah.
And when I was at Forpocalypse, I had to wait 10 or 15 minutes for them to open up the room.
Oh, that's first.
And plus, it was Sunday morning and people had to get their stuff out, at least get it out to their cars.
Well, if I recall, they pitted you and someone else against each other last year, both doing cartoons.
Yeah, well, something like that.
I looked down at the thing and was like, really? Someone running panels? Whoever was overseeing wasn't paying attention.
Well, at Anthrocon, I was going to be co-hosting Zootopia and running Classic Cartoons, and they put me in the Westin and my co-host in the big, huge hall, and I said to him, I'm doing both panels. Is there a way you could put me after him?
Mm-hmm.
So there we were. We got the big room. He did Zootopia with me, and then I did Classic Cartoons, and it worked out because I said, look, I'm already going to be there. Just let me do that, and then I'll do my panel afterwards, and it worked out. We got the big, huge room, too.
Yeah. Notes, which hopefully I won't have to refer to much because that's out of focus. I know we wear classes, but for the whole cosplay, Moxman never wore classes.
Yeah, don't ruin the magic.
The magic.
Yeah, well, it is ruined. He has black hair and it's gray, brown. It used to be brown, it's kind of grayish now, like my fur stuff. My gray squirrel.
How dare.
They didn't put this room the other way to use the bigger screen unless the hotel charged for that and they probably brought the money. That would make sense.
I would have hoped that they would have put it more toward the middle instead of on one end, but that's how they.
That's where they put the curtain. Stay Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'm only an hour from here, so I usually just scoot on home after closing. And they threw me at this late a time. I was like, I want some place to store my stuff up in my car. So maybe
I'm about an hour and a half away. I'm on the North Shore of Boston, and it's about an hour and a half. And I almost was thinking of going to a Super 8 or something and staying tonight. But it's like, nah, I'll just leave at 7:30 or so and be home by 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Come on in.
Hello.
This might be a pretty full room. I'm starting to get that sensation, although I drew three people today.
It's supposed to be filmed, so that's the other reason I'm waiting.
That's good.
And the filmer is at the Therian panel. So. Welcome, welcome. So I'm hoping to get started right at 5, but we might get started a couple minutes late because I'm waiting for the Therian panel, which wraps up at 5.
everything is nice and close here, and like just coming off the streets to go to the different panel rooms, you don't have to go too far.
Cheers, I'll drink to that, bro.
The presentation itself will be about half an hour, so there'll be time to do sampling and time to get you back down to closing. If you're a Moxie fan and you want a full can, we don't have any left, follow me up to my room and I'll give you a can. I can't give it away down here because of the hotel rules.
Yeah, we were talking about how some cons, like for Apocalypse, have snack food tasting panels, but other cons, oh no, you can't give away food there.
It depends on the rules.
Depends on the rules. Exactly, yeah.
All of them here in Maine, you must purchase it from the hotel.
Right. Oh, okay.
Inside the con space.
Because FERPOC actually had two different panels where they were passing all the unique snack foods and everything. And they had two of them. Something like Anthrocon might say, nah, I don't think so. Between the hotel or the convention center. They had a panel at A&E, Massachusetts, a Wicked Primer.
Oh, yeah,
and I wound up recording the whole thing on audio and getting some of it on video. It was a riot, all about, you know, some words not suitable for the FCC, but still. Well, you know what I mean. But I have it on, so I have it on my site and everything, and I may have put it on YouTube, but the guy was very funny.
Yeah, that guy. I recognize him from the sound test. I got to tell him from the EBA a while back.
Yeah, I use her as like an avatar for a lot of things.
Oh, that is so valid.
Yeah, you can ask one if you want to.
Thank you.
Hey, Throttle? Yeah, I actually drew that picture, the sticker I gave you.
For those of you who just came in, I'm sorry, like a couple minutes late
or something.
Waiting for some folks from the Therian panel who absolutely wanted to see this, including one of us come to tell it. For those who couldn't come.
Ready?
Oh, yeah.
There.
The actual presentation will be about 30-35 minutes, giving you enough time to sample if you wish to sample and then get to closing. At least it's based on my practice runs. We'll see what happens when we don't practice. We've got a live audience.
Have you been to the festival?
Yes.
I want to go somewhere.
There's a Moxie festival. We'll cover that in the presentation.
I also do that.
Great, you have a new follower. It's going to be 1,000 year rules.
Probably tired, you know, Sunday evening. Sunday.
Tired. Tired.
Well, I can always scream at the top of my lungs if you want.
Yeah. We had the game show, Pass to the Yen, and it was tough to concentrate because they had karaoke next door, and it was just so loud. You know, he's trying to do the game.
That's my qualm with these portable walls. The hotels never invested in soundproof versions.
Right.
And they are available.
Yeah.
A lot more cost.
And then at Furrydelphia, they were doing Furry Feud, and they had a rock band next door. Oh, same thing.
There is plenty of room in the back and on the sides. I'm waiting just a couple more minutes for the folks on the Therian panel to get up here. We're going to record it.
Oh, my gosh.
You were ready for this panel.
Here's Moxie.
Yeah, Moxie, what? Can't see it yet.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's a dog. Is that an actual name in a real cartoon that was from that?
It looks Cartoon Network.
Oh, Cartoon Network.
But spelled
my Comcast never gave me Cartoon Network. Or actually, well, no, what am I saying? No, they never gave me Boomerang, but they had Cartoon Network, and then they made it like you had to get a different tier. That's what happened.
Anyone want any gummy bears? He's not gummy bears.
Two? Good choice.
Everyone who uses
FA
knows the ad.
Too.
I make some guarantees.
I'll take one.
As long as you don't mind giving.
Sorry.
I think they need to rename Running Red and Running Late.
Project Wonderful was what CRF used for ads.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the Cutting Room 4?
I'm going to fight off all the
things. Oh, Cutting Room 4? That's a good place. I'm friends with one of the people who run it. Really? Damn. Which one?
Central Dark.
Well, kind of in just like... I'm Rick. I'm on set. I'm in another one of the set.
Oh, cool.
It's an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
I picked one of these up when I thought
it's a.
I'm really happy to see this many here. The beginning is a cherry. I didn't know what I was expecting.
Actually decided to come because I had a grandfather who used to drink Moxie. I mean, I remember when I would visit this place in Plymouth, Massachusetts. He would have like all these cases of Moxie, like in the kitchen, and then there was some cans in the fridge and stuff.
Ah, nice to meet you.
I waited just for you because I knew you were going to record.
Oh yeah, Woven Terror. He did the Grey Muzzle panel. Hi.
Are you going to be able to see this screen over there? You might want to set up on this side.
I'm also starting.
I hope Rick forgives me if I start without him once you're ready.
I'm sure.
I'm actually going to see if I can.
Welcome. We'll be starting in just a moment, as soon as the camera's ready to roll.
You know, I think about that Dr. Moriarty thing.
I love your soda, Sona.
Every once in a while.
I love your soda, Sona.
My favorite thing is the
episode. I had to do it. I had to do it.
Oh, what happened?
100%. Even though I need to dye my hair.
All of a sudden, he gets his first going.
You know what? I'm going to put my recorder up there and create another seat for someone who needs it. So that's my recorder.
All right.
I have a
This is good. They actually set some aside for people who have disability issues.
Yep.
They can right up front.
Yep.
Very good idea.
All right. Welcome everyone to Moxie Myths and the Mystique. I'm Alden Bushytail. I'll introduce a little more about myself in a moment. First, though, please save your questions to the end, and because most of them might be answered during the presentation. But we're going to start with a pop quiz! So what exactly is Moxie? Maine's official soft drink. The anglicization of muscus, which is Abnaki for dark or black water, or an adjective meaning someone who is full of pep or full of nerve, or someone with a lot of courage. A, B, or C?
All the above.
All the above, you're correct. Governor John Baldacci signed a proclamation into law in 2005, making it the official soft drink of the state of Maine. Ever heard of Moxie Falls?
Yes.
All right. That's where it comes from. And because it's an adjective, it has been borrowed by other products. I highly recommend that you do not sample this as a drink.
That would not be a good idea.
I heard it does good for COVID.
Yeah. Moxie is the store brand at Lowe's Home Improvement Centers. So you can wipe your backside with Moxie toilet paper, You can clean your windows with Moxie brand version of Windex, or you can clean out that strange thing that you want out of your head with brain bleach. All right, I promise you there's only one correct answer out of three options this time. Where was Moxie invented? Lisbon Falls. Lowell, Massachusetts? Or Union, Maine?
B.
You dress up far too nice.
I'm going to go with Massachusetts.
Lion R.
B. Lowell, Massachusetts, believe it or not. It was imported to us, but we'll cover more about why later. One more question, and then we'll get to the rest of this. When was Moxie first introduced to the public? 1906, 1885, 1884, 1876, or 1870?
1884.
I'm going to go 85. A, maybe
the only 1900 one?
1885. This is a trick question.
We don't know.
Wow. But all of these dates do have something to do with Moxie. Moxie, as you know it now, with the Core VX, dates to 1906, when they had to clean up their act because of the Food and Drug Act. Prior to 1906, it was beverage Moxie Nerve Food, which was patented in 1885, but it is believed it was produced and sold prior to the patent as early as 1884. Prior to being carbonated, it was Moxie Nerve Food, a medicine you took by the teaspoonful. There's a lot of literature that points to 1876 as the date it was introduced. But there's also a newspaper article from 1926 which reads, 56 years ago, Moxie was invented as a stomach medication in Lowell. You take 56 from 1926 and you get 1870. So who knows the actual start date? It's not in any of the documents that I have access to.
The correct answer is yes.
Briefly about me. Alden Bushytail. I've been in the furry fandom on and off since the late 1980s, starting out in alt-fan furry.
Oh, I saw that Betsy Beaver.
Yeah. And I wandered away from that to another group called Alt-Devil Bunnies, which was a shared reality creative writing group about killer bunny riders trying to take over the world. As Usenet petered out, I moved back into the furry fandom, kind of lurking, and then about 10 or so years ago, because of Betsy the Beaver, I started getting active again, mostly here in Maine. On the real-life side, I'm a latecomer to Moxie. I was raised on diet soft drinks in the 70s and 80s, back when they were saccharinated, sodium saccharin. If you ever had Sweet and Low in your coffee, it's got kind of a bitter aftertaste, that's because of the saccharin. And then around 84 or so, they started to move away from saccharin to aspartame. And I was looking for that bitter aftertaste, because that's what I was used to, so I moved to Moxie. After graduate school, still using it, hadn't quite petered out yet, I found a group called Alt Fan Moxie. Through that group, I was introduced to the New England Moxie Congress, the official Moxie fan club. It's both people who love to drink it, or love to collect. It was through them that I discovered the Moxie Festival in Lisbon Falls, which blew my mind that I didn't know about it, even though I lived 30 miles up the road in Augusta. And then through the Moxie Festival, I came across the Matthews Museum of Maine Heritage in Union, Maine. This big front section here is the Moxie Wing. It's a whole wing of Moxie. It's the largest collection of Moxie memorabilia in the country open to the public. Just quick samples. Now, why would we have all this Moxie in Union, Maine? It's because the inventor was born in Union. Dr. Augustine Thompson was born and raised in Union, Maine. He was born in 1835. And when the Civil War broke out, he joined the Union cause, was mustered into the 28th Regiment. He's front and center of this photo here. His regiment was sent off to Louisiana. He was shot three times by the enemy, charging the enemy in Louisiana. And I want to pause there for a moment. Let's think about this. What was it like in the Civil War? If you got shot, what usually happened?
Amputation
if you're lucky.
Oh, amputation.
Or infection. He was shot in the chest, the shoulder, and the leg. It lived. He must have had a lot of moxie. After the war, he went to apothecary / homeopathy medical school in Philadelphia. He got his medical degree 2 years later in 1867 and set up shop in Lowell, Massachusetts. At that time, Lowell, Massachusetts was a hotbed for snake oil remedies. Fake cures. You know, lots of alcohol or cocaine or other nasty substitutes.
It'll cure it.
It'll cure it permanently. Just a quick example. One of them was called Dr. Ayer's Cathartic Pills. Dr. Ayer wasn't a doctor. He just put that on there to, you know, sell his pills. When he died in 1878, he was worth $20 million in 1878 funds, or half a billion dollars today. It was big bucks. And Dr. Thompson wanted in on the game. But being from Maine, Maine being a teetotaler state mostly at that time, he was against alcohol, and with his medical degree, he wanted to make something that was actually healthful. And in homeopathy, it's not like a one and done. It's littles over time. So he invented moxie nerve food, which you take by the teaspoonful to help the nerves or help digestion, because what he'd mixed in there was something called ginseng root, which is a digestive aid. This ad is from my personal collection. I don't have a huge collection of moxie. This is from the back page of the Youth Companion magazine, June 1895. And I wanted to mention Youth Companion magazine because this is just so raw. Remember, this is before the Food and Drug Act of 1906, so you can make all kinds of claims. A delicious and healthful beverage of the greatest value to persons suffering from nervousness or incipient paralysis. And I'll stop right there. Incipient paralysis, it was the 1890s term, for impotence. So, moxie was promoting itself as Viagra. Isn't that great, huh? Yeah, yeah.
Except no substitutes.
Yeah. And so, like I said, he was selling his take by the teaspoon medicine. And then he saw the carbonation was starting to take off. So sometime in, probably in 1884, which will explain why you see 1884 on a lot of the bottles, he started carbonating. He took out a patent on his product on September 1st, 1885. On the patent, he said he was starting to bottle it in April of 1885. But the Matthews Museum has records showing that he was buying supplies prior to that date. So who knows? So this is why I'm not too afraid of saying 1884. Moxie collectors will settle on both the 1884 and 1885 date for carbonated moxie. And most of them go with the 1876 for moxie nerve food. And as I mentioned before, there is literature showing it could have been earlier. Dr. Thompson remained with the company until 1893, and then he sold the rights for $15,000 a year, or the right we're looking at now, $155,000 a year. Not bad. He then turned to just making plays. He wrote plays. He passed away in 1903. Two of his sons remained active with the company until the 1930s. I need a quick sip. I'm going dry real quick. Yeah, accept no substitutes. Get yourself some moxie. And now you want to keep track of your Franks. There's a lot of Franks involved with moxie. One of Dr. Augustus Thompson's sons was Frank. And then we have Frank Archer. Frank Archer joined the Moxie Company in 1896 and worked his way up to president. He was a marketing genius. I'm only going to show a few examples of some of the stuff he came up with that helped make Moxie become number one by 1920, the number one soft drink in the country. First off, we have the bottle wagons.
Oh, a big
that he's getting credit for this, but this was actually with the Moxie Company before he came on board. They would have these drivers drive around their carriages with these giant Moxie bottles. And then they would park and get into the hollow bottle and sell Moxie by the glassful for a nickel out of the bottle. Pretty neat. The photo on the left, it's hard to see, this is Moxie Nerve Food, so it predates 1906. This photo is from Camden, Maine in 1903. And then this other one, this dapper gentleman, I don't remember where it was taken, but you can see it was from 1906 because it's got the new Moxie by itself logo.
So happy.
The Moxie Bottle House. In 1903, there was a food expo in Boston. And so they made this giant 10-foot diameter, 30-foot tall bottle.
Chug, chug, chug.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Yes, chug, chug, chug. We'll get to that in a moment. This bottle breaks down into 12 panels for the cylinder, another 6 for the neck, and then the cap that sits on top is 200 pounds. I know I helped reassemble this bottle at the museum. After the Food Expo in 1903, it went around the Northeast circuit of fairs, carnivals, and festivals. It spent time at Coney Island, and eventually in 1909 was set up at Pine Island Park in Manchester, New Hampshire, where it sat for 10 years selling Moxie. It was then abandoned. Some people took it down, took it across the pond from the park, and set it up as their cottage on the lake. Now, I can just imagine how much trouble that kids must have gotten into in school in the fall. What did you do for the summer? I slept in a ball. That family, after a year, sold it to a second family, which added on a cottage, as you can see. And then they put floors inside the bottle, and those floors became bedrooms for the kids. Pretty neat. They shingled it over. That's the only reason it survived. And then members of that family used it for about 90 years. And then they put it up for sale. A neighbor bought it, but wanted to tear it down because he just wanted the property. Realizing it was known as the Moxie Bottle House, and knowing that it was historical, he didn't want to just tear it down, so he offered the bottle up for sale. Moxie fans bought it, and then they found that they couldn't handle it. And so members of the New England Moxie Congress bought it from them and donated it to the Matthews Museum. It went into storage for 10 years while we sold an awful lot of t-shirts to add that wing I showed you earlier. That wing was $100,000 with volunteer labor. Yeah. And then in 2009, we reassembled the bottle in the new wing and opened up the wing. I can't imagine how hard it was back then because it took us all day with scaffolding and pulleys to put this up. Hopefully we never have to take it down or move it again. 1906, he created the iconic Moxie Man. For many years, people thought Frank Archer was the model for the Moxie Man because you saw a lot of logos and fans that say, Frank Archer says, if at all particular, drink Moxie. So a lot of people thought that the Moxie Man was Frank Archer. That went on for many, many years until about 15 years ago when a member of the New England Moxie Congress did the proper research and figured out that the Moxie Man's name was John Chamberlain. So there you go. There's some useless trivia for you. Maybe you'll win Jeopardy or something. Who was the Moxie Man? In the 40s, briefly, they made the Moxie Man look more like Frank Sinatra. I got one more slide on the Moxie Man. There are those in the New England Moxie Congress who think that the Moxie Man was the model for the Uncle Sam poster from the First World War. According to the artist of Uncle Sam, he based it off a UK poster that was similar to it from one of the lords in the UK. But again, there are those who think it was the Moxie Man. I'll let you decide whether it's myth or mystique. Finally, the other last example I'll give for you is the Horsemobile. The one on the left is the last original Horsemobile on a LaSalle chassis. It used to be displayed at Clark's Trading Post in New Hampshire. The owner passed away. He was on loan to Clark's Trading Post. The owner passed away last year. His entire estate went up for auction. It sold for $65,000, and we don't know where it went, which is sad because now you won't be able to see it at the parade. Frank Archie created this late in 1917. Moxie had embraced the automobile around 1900. There are many towns and cities here in the Northeast where the very first automobile people saw was a Moxie car or truck. Isn't that interesting? The one on the right here is a reproduction. Will Mackey was well known. He produced 5 or 6 of these and sold them off. And then he kept one for himself, and he passed away. And his family keeps promising to bring this back up, and they haven't yet, which is too bad. So if you actually get a chance to see one of these, snap a photo. Now then, Moxie was number one in 1920, outselling Coke, outselling Pepsi. Matter of fact, Pepsi went bankrupt, belly up in 1923. So, by 1930, you had Moxie as number one, Coke as number two. But this is where Moxie started to slip and fall. Frank Archer passed away. And there was no one to take his place in his brilliance on market, unfortunately. But, you know, they tried. And, of course, with the Great Depression, you know, money was tight. But it turns out Moxie was one of the first victims of the Cold Wars. Remember, Pepsi went under in 1923, so why do we still have Pepsi today? The owner of a soda fountain candy store chain in New York State had a fight with Coke. He threw Coke out of his stores, bought out what was left of Pepsi, and put Pepsi in his fountains. Not stopping there, he was so upset with Coca-Cola that he started bottling Pepsi in 12-ounce bottles versus Moxie's 7-ounce and Coke's 6-ounce. And he was selling it for the same nickel.
Damn.
Great Depression. People are poor. They're going to go for the bargain. Matter of fact, some of these people would buy a 12-ounce bottle of Pepsi, bring it into the kitchen, pour it into 2 Coke bottles, and their company would be polite enough not to point out that this doesn't taste like Coke. Problem two that hurt Moxie is this right here. That's why I put this down. This is the family size Moxie bottle. You fill it to the neck, you got 28 ounces. Prohibition, number one soft drink in the country. Plentiful bottles. What do you call a 750 milliliter bottle of booze?
Nice.
Fifth. But what is a fifth? A fifth of what?
A gallon.
A fifth of a gallon, which is just over 26 ounces. So if you fill a Moxie bottle to the top of the letters, you have a fifth of bathtub gin. So their bottles started disappearing into the bootleg market. And of course, when the feds and the sheriff were to catch up with those bootleggers, they would destroy the product by smashing the bottles. So Moxie's costs were going up because they had to replace all these stolen bottles. See, do I have that on here? Oh, see, I forgot to hit this real quick. And then Pepsi, sorry, I'm losing track. Back up. Okay, there's one more thing before I go to that next slide. And then World War II hit. In World War II, Coke got real smart. We'll one-up Moxie. We'll send our product to the front lines, to the soldiers. And that's what they did. And the problem with that was the soldiers then got hooked on the taste of Coke. Moxie was a fuddy-duddy drink for your parents, not for you. Coke quickly took off and took first place. Moxie, in desperation, made a very stupid mistake in 1948. They changed the formula, and it flopped.
New Coke.
Yeah, you'd think New Coke would have learned from Moxie. But they didn't.
Moxie, yeah. History are doomed to repeat it.
And so Moxie lost more market share. They quickly backpedaled, brought back the original formula, too late. By the early 50s, Moxie had become regional only, New England, New York, Pennsylvania, despite trying to get Ted Williams on there to promote the product for them, who, you know, was a famous slugger with the Boston Red Sox. They also tried to produce a root beer. The root beer flopped. And even with Ted Williams' help, Moxie struggled. Then came along Mad Magazine. Isn't that interesting? Mad Magazine, of course, you know, if you've ever looked at it, does spoofs of everything. The problem with that is it's hard to sell advertising space, because you'd have to mark everything, this is a joke, or this is for real. So what they tried to do is subtle advertising. They approached Moxie as a test market, and they asked Moxie, can we put you in the pages of our magazine to see what happens? Moxie's sales jumped up about 10%, as people would see this and go to buy Moxie. But a lot of people didn't know what Moxie was. And so they started writing to the magazine saying, what is this all about with this Moxie stuff? What is this? And so the magazine wrote back in the magazine, actually, we've been plastering Moxie all over the magazine because we feel it ought to be restored to the popularity and place of prominence it once enjoyed upon the American scene. Yes, sir, let's bring Moxie back. Going back to that previous slide, you have the mascot of the magazine, who is, and I'm blanking here, I've lost my place.
Alfred E. Newman.
And his girlfriend. Does anyone know the girlfriend's name? Moxie!
Oh.
They named her after the soda.
I never even knew there was a girl.
Yeah, she only appears like three or four times in the 50s and 60s, and then more recently a few times. In the 60s, new marketing staff came on board, and they ignored the warnings of employees who saw the last fiasco. Guess what they did?
No.
New Moxie 2.
No, they did not.
They did. New Moxie again.
Revengeance!
Wait, hold on a second. Coke
in
what, the
70s
or
80s? In
84.
And they had two examples not to follow this. And of course, they lost more market share and were barely afloat. In 1968, Moxie was bought out by Monarch Beverages of Atlanta, Georgia.
Coca-Cola.
No, it's not Coca-Cola. That's what it made them, but because it was in Atlanta, Georgia, people thought that it was Coca-Cola that bought them. And that was the case through the 80s. Monarch is a collector of regional soft drink brands to try and keep them afloat. The only positive thing they did for Moxie was that they restored the last original horsemobile into working condition. Now we move to the early 80s. And a gentleman by the name of Frank Potter, keep track of your Franks, had been working for about 10 years to write a history of the Moxie horsemobile, because he wrote histories of various automobiles. Instead, he wound up writing a history of all of Moxie, because he figured out you can't write about the horsemobile without writing about the history of Moxie itself. And he released his book in 1981 called The Moxie Mystique. Frank Anicetti, seen here in the center, owned and operated Canada-flavored fruits in Lisbon Falls. He was a big Moxie fan. Half his store was dedicated to Moxie. And he also sold Moxie ice cream. He reached out to Frank Potter and said, hey, can you come to my store and do a book signing? And Frank Potter said, sure. And so Frank Anicetti sent out 200 postcards, expecting maybe 50 people to show up. More than 200 fans showed up in 1982 and the Moxie Festival was born. These days, they see closer to 50,000 people. Frank Anicetti retired in 2016, closed down his store, sold off everything, passed away the following year. Cousins of his opened up a restaurant and named it for him. You go to downtown Lisbon Falls, you can go have a meal with Moxie at Frank's restaurant. in 1991, a group of Moxie enthusiasts, after the Moxie Festival, gathered at the Kennebunkport Trolling Museum, and they founded the Moxie fan club known as the New England Moxie Congress. I'm a life member. And what they do is they work to preserve Moxie. They give donations of memorabilia and cash to the Matthews Museum to keep the museum going. And a lot of times when one of the members pass, they donate their collection to the museum. If we have a better copy of the item in the museum, we sell the extra.
To raise more funds. Oh, did I just lose it? I did not push that button, it turned off.
Put it on, let it rest. Over there.
Yep, yeah, there we go. Okay, good. That's interesting. Now then, moving forward. 2000s to present. In 2007, Cornucopia Beverages. It must be a dead battery. Okay, I'll just call out loud. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. In 2007, Cornucopia Beverages, a subsidiary of Coca-Cola of Northern New England, which is also a subsidiary of Karen Beverages of Japan, convinced Monarch to sell them Moxie. And they did. And Moxie was brought back to New England, based in Bedford, New Hampshire. Cornucopia did the best they could to promote the product, despite not having a huge budget. And then they also tried to branch out into Moxie energy drinks and seltzer, neither of which took off, so they were discontinued after a year or two. Sadly, they had some financial issues and were bought out by Coca-Cola in 2018. And merged with other bottles in the Northeast to become Coca-Cola Northeast. In 2019, they had bottling issues. Ended up with some Moxie that tasted like cinnamon, as an example. What it was is they were producing some cinnamon Coke or cinnamon Diet Coke and weren't properly rinsing out the vats before going to the next product. Then, during COVID, there was a shortage of the Moxie syrup. And Coca-Cola made a mistake. They dropped gentian root from the ingredients because to make it line up with their other products. If there's less than 2% of something in their product, they don't normally list it. And the Moxie fans suddenly said, look at this, Coke changed the formula. It doesn't taste the same anymore. I really think it's weaker now, but they put gentian root back on the ingredient list. There's not a lot of camaraderie, not a lot of trust between the Moxie fans and Coke. So yes, now you can say Coke owns Moxie. All we can say is, in the future, only time will tell what will happen. That's the history portion of my presentation. I got a couple of other items to throw out here, just for the fun of it. Oh, I missed one here. Where can you get Moxie now? There are three bottlers left. Coca-Cola of Northeast, based in Bedford, New Hampshire. That's where this stuff came from. They use high fructose corn syrup, like all their other products. And they also produce a diet in cans. Katowice Beverages in Pennsylvania, they produce it with cane sugar in glass bottles. Orca Beverages in Mukilteo, let me see, I wrote down the pronunciation. Mukilteo. Washington State.
There's a wired mic.
Thank you. Test. Nope. Sorry, I'll just shout. I'm almost done anyway. Orca Beverages produces all those old regional brands. They've reached out to the various owners. They supply Cracker Barrel. So anywhere in the country there's a Cracker Barrel, you can get Moxie. If it's not in stock, you ask for it, they can get it for you. But you're going to pay dearly for it because it's got to be shipped from Washington State. So expect to pay $3 to $4 a bottle.
12-ounce bottle?
12-ounce bottle.
A 12-ounce bottle.
Yeah. Now then, people have asked, why is it orange? The product itself is brown. Dark brown to black. But why do they use orange for the label? There are three theories. It wasn't always orange, as you can see. It started out as kind of an off yellow because it was originally medicine. So they used the same color label as prescription paper. Over time, they moved it to orange to make it more eye-catching, according to one theory. But
as you can see, it wasn't always orange. Matter of fact, as you can see here, they played upon the Mad magazine with a campaign that said, Mad About Moxie. Theory two, about why it's orange. Remember his Civil War record? Orange! These records were done up by private companies after the war for the veterans. The veterans would give them their records and they would do these up. So maybe they used orange to promote the fact that he was a Civil War veteran. Finally, theory number three. Ever heard of Angostura bitters?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what the flavor of Angostura bitters comes from?
Gentian root. Just like the main flavor ingredient, Moxie. And if you ever spill some, it's orange. But we don't know why it's orange. But those are your three theories. Any Star Trek fans?
No.
Moxie's in Star Trek. Unfortunately, there are Star Trek fans who don't think the books are canon, but I think they are, because that way we have Moxie in the Star Trek universe. So find yourself the book Ishmael, and you can see that there's Moxie on the Enterprise.
And if you're smarter than Montgomery Scott, you can probably turn it into fuel.
Probably. How about Moxie in cartoons?
Oh,
the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
This episode won an Emmy for tackling homosexuality. Actually, I think it won an Emmy because it presented Moxie.
Well, Conan O'Brien was from this area, and he wrote for the Simpsons,
yeah.
Right?
Possibly.
No, he did.
Yep.
Animaniacs. In the episode Joker Hunters, which picked fun at Disney, and in typical Animaniacs fashion, they switched from what they were supposed to be doing to something else for a break. So they went to a soda fountain, and at the top, there's a Moxie sign. Back when this was on, you know, Usenet was still big, and they had a group for Animaniacs where they kept track of all the cultural references. And the writers kept track of that to try and trick them. Moxie never made the reference. So I'm sure the writers were like, yes! How about Bugs Bunny?
Oh, yeah.
And Ballot Box Bunny, where he's running against Yosemite Sam to become mayor, about halfway through the episode, he's filling up a bathtub with Moxie for a picnic to try and convince people to vote for him. I got one more thing to throw in here. Furry fandom. In the 50s, a bottler in upstate New York tried a different design for the Moxie bottle with the slogan, Be Foxy, Drink Moxie. It didn't work out, unfortunately. And this is now one of the highly sought after bottles for collectors. There was one collector 2 years ago who put out a $5,000 reward to get one. He passed away 2 weeks later.
Oh.
But because of that now, this bottle is now considered worth $5,000. We have one at the museum under the lock and key that you can come see.
That's awesome.
And that's my presentation. And that's promised roughly half an hour. Now then, if you wish to sample Moxie, you can come sample Moxie. If you're a Moxie fan, you can follow me up to my room afterwards, and I'll gladly hand you a can, because I can't hand the cans up down here.
Oh, yeah.
These were bought from the hotel. The ones upstairs were not. So I guess I could pour this out, or we can just gather up. Thank you. Are there any questions that I missed?
You said one group does it with cane sugar.
Yeah, Katowice bottling.
What's the alternative?
High fructose corn syrup, which is what I've got here.
How do you get the cane sugar type?
Glass bottles. You can go to Cracker Barrel stores. Here in Maine, if you want to make a trip up to Wisconsin, you can go to Sweets and More. They also get it from Washington State.
And do you have any opinion on the two?
I drink diet. And if I have to drink non-diet, I go for the cane sugar. I hate high fructose corn syrup.
63.
I saw you raise your hand.
I mentioned in Stephen King's 11/22/63, which is a time travel story. It talks about how there was a store in Lisbon Falls that it kept alive by offering Moxie to have a bit of a museum. Yeah. Is that store still there? Is it Kennebec Fruit Company?
That was the Kennebec Fruit Company.
Is it still around?
No. They closed in 2016.
Oh, okay.
The owner died in 2017. That was
because
Frank
I
Anicetti.
Actually went into that little town. I looked around. It's like, there's where the diner was.
It's now Frank's Restaurant.
So, okay. And also, are there any restaurants or something that offer Moxie on tap? You know what I mean?
It's not available on tap.
Oh, strictly in bottles.
It's strictly in bottles and cans.
In cans, yeah. Okay, great. Thanks.
I'm going to just do little bits. Okay. That way, if you hate it, you can just spit it back in the cup.
I'm
sorry? Yep, there are people, you know, there's no way to describe Moxie.
I grew up with soda. I loved it. I always thought it tasted like those candle wax candies.
Thank you for coming.
That's a pretty neat smell to it, I gotta say.
Stunk together. Well, technically it is a root beer because it's gentian root, but it's a different type. It's a different flavor altogether.
One of my plans for being up here in Maine is to get a lot less offensive than it used to be when I was a kid.
Shaw's is having a sale right now. Buy two, get two.
Oh, nice.
No, people are so tired in that photo.
hold up the shot glass.
Yeah, I could have gone. We've just got
the face implication.
Hell yeah.
But at the same time, it's like I don't want to pour too much out and have it wasted.
There we go.
There we go. Performing staff duties. Ventura the Osprey, everyone.
I'm also here to enjoy the panel, but
I've heard that before. I've also heard quotes.
That is a good show.
Go for it.
Wait.
Keep pouring until
wait. I need to get you with there with that shirt on.
He's trying to get your shirt.
I gotta get your shirt.
Yeah.
Next to one.
This is not gonna work.
Yeah, you're gonna have to take the head. You're gonna have to dehead yourself.
Oh, no, I just wanted to get the shirt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I ordered six cans because I didn't know how much I was gonna need. I didn't want to order too much.
That is good. It's got that little twist, that little licorice twist or something.
I'm not going to
need it.
Distinctively different.
I still got four here. And I got 36 up in my room for anyone who wants a full can.
I've got probably four
pieces of it.
Anyone else?
Yep.
It is really good.
I don't know if you knew this information, but there's actually one guy, I think in the New England state, who is allowed to actually print Moxie shirts.
Yes, he has a license from Coke to produce them. And he supplies a lot of the stores and stuff.
Do you know where he is?
He's in Vermont.
Yep, Dennis.
Yep.
My father
Dennis
worked for
Russo
him.
Or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, he's also a member of New England Moxie Con.
Yep, my father worked for him years ago, and I still keep in contact with him because he had gifted me a Moxie shirt for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So,
I got one too.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yep, you got a bunch of people. You still in line, right?
No.
Oh, they're on the outside. You're talking about the old days of, like, tonics and things like that?
Well, they're up. Both of you came up first, yeah?
There was a woman named Lydia Pinkham who developed a tonic for, like, women that were going through pregnancy and suffering pain and everything. And it was very successful because it had booze in it.
I got a little left here.
Yeah. And there was a group called The Scaffold.
I shake too much. I had some extra coffee. And of course, nerves from presenting. I'm introverted.
We
so
all drink.
Oh, I thought it was a fun presentation.
Great. The human race, because she invented medicinal compound was efficacious in any case. So Paul McCartney's brother.
Thank you.
As I like to point out, I grew up with a McCartney.
Did you get the toys
at Abbey Road?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was from Liverpool. So yeah, basically Paul McCartney's brother.
Yeah, I don't
think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a little left in the can.
Still closing.
Or
bearings.
Anyone else need a sample?
It's been a hot minute since I've had it, but I actually have to get it.